just heard Bogish mention the Jets have unveiled their Gotham City football jerseys. Not bad. I mean, not beautiful, but they're not bad. I get it. I mean, you got to go out there and sell more merch. So the Bills unveiled theirs, which are ugly, by the way. Polar jerseys or something like that. They're all white, and I don't know. I mean, you get a little too cute. So I'd be a little bit more concerned. The heck with the jerseys when it comes to the Jets. And two things can be true. When you think about the New York Jets in 2025, you can love, you know, and absolutely adore, and I do, the messaging from Aaron Glenn. You know, I think there's a lot to like. I really do. I think there's a, you know, fumigate the building. You know, I was talking to Ally Anazone the other day when I was out at final day of training camp for the New York Jets, final practice of training camp for the New York Jets, and interviewed Al, who does a great job for Newsday, and asked, you know, are people going to get out of Aaron Glenn's way? And he thinks, well, and I'm referencing the owner, is Woody Johnson going to get out of his way? And I think initially he will. You know, it got really lost. And I'm the idiot that a year ago when I was filling in on the midday show, I actually picked the Jets to win the Super Bowl, which is, I mean, Jets can't even make the playoffs. So, I mean, I picked them to win the Super Bowl. I was all, you know, I was drinking that Kool-Aid with Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh and the defense and, you know, iron sharpens iron, all the cliches coming out of Florham Park, and everything's going to work out because, you know what, maybe it's due. Maybe it's the Jet time. And end up being a dumpster fire of a season. Saleh fired in the middle part of the year. They bring in Ulbrich, who was completely lost as an interim head coach. You know, Rodgers was hurt early, the loss to Denver. I mean, like, he looked better as the season went along, but we know how it ended. It was another dumpster fire embarrassment of a season for the New York Jets. And, you know, in steps Mougie as the general manager and Glenn as the head coach. And I think for Glenn, you know, we're going to see, you could love the messaging. You could love the fact that they're hitting during training camp. You could love the culture and the change and the fact that it's no longer a leaky ship down in Florham Park, which shows you a healthy organization. I mean, we love, you know, for what we do, whether it be TV, whether it be radio, whether it be, you know, writing the news, doing a podcast, blog, whatever it might be. I mean, everybody loves leaks coming out of, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. But what that also shows you is an unhealthy organization where you have different people going in different directions. And you've seen that over the past couple of years with the New York Jets. Haven't really seen that since Glenn has taken over, where, you know, he got basically out, you know, put the, you know, fumigated the building and tried to change everything up down there in Florham Park. And I think that's the first sign of a healthy organization. The second sign is the accountability and what it means is going to be a New York Jet. I asked him the very question when he got introduced down in Florham Park, and he said, well, you're going to find out when we hit the field, you know, for our first game, what Jet football looks like. I think what Jet football is going to look like initially, and we'll get to fields here in a moment, but I think what it's going to look like is a team that's going to be physical, a team that's going to play smart, that when the roster gets upgraded can kind of be multiple in terms of how they attack opposing teams based on their opponent in any given week. And a team that's not going to go out there and be one of the most penalized teams in the National Football League. You know, and you can't get in your own way. And I think at times the Jets, and they were so poorly coached the past couple of years, and coaching matters in the National Football League. And I think Aaron Glenn doesn't have a big hurdle to clear as comparatively speaking when you look at the job that Robert Saleh and company did the past couple of seasons, or really the Robert Saleh era or error during his tenure here with the New York Jets. But we'll see exactly what he is as a head coach. But I think that's what Jet football is going to look like. Now, I think the offensive line can be, a strength. I think they want to go out there and run it. I think they want to put themselves into situations where they're in third and not obvious passing situations, because I have real reservations, as do a lot of people. And I told you at the time when the Jets brought him in and they signed him, when it comes to Justin Fields, like, I don't think Justin Fields is particularly good. Like, and that's an issue. Like, and I you know, you could look at and say, and there were people bringing up the comparisons of Jared Goff, amazingly enough, you know, when, you know, because Glenn was in Detroit, Goff was a castaway by McVay and the Los Angeles Rams. Stafford went to L.A., won a Super Bowl with McVay and the Rams. And Goff obviously has turned his career around in Detroit. with, you know, the culture change and shift with Dan Campbell, but under the tutelage of then offensive coordinator Ben Johnson, who's now the head coach of the Chicago Bears. But like, it's a stupid argument. And I don't like using that term. I kind of reprimand my kids when they say it, so maybe I shouldn't say it here on WFAN, but it really is kind of dopey. I mean, Jared Goff went to a Super Bowl. Like, he went to a Super Bowl with the Los Angeles Rams. Now, he was embarrassingly bad in that Super Bowl against the New England Patriots, but still, like, Jared Goff went to a Super Bowl. So, like, the idea now of looking at Justin Fields and thinking, well, the third team's going to be the charm. And all of a sudden, he's going to find it. I'm not telling you that he is not physically gifted, that he doesn't have, you know, a good enough arm, or that, you know, he can't run it, you know, or the physical attributes. But there's more to that when you're looking at a quarterback in the National Football League than just, and everyone gets caught up with it. We did. I did. When you're looking at Zach Wilson, right, and the physical attributes. But so there's more to that. You know, he's not been a winning quarterback in the National Football League. He doesn't throw it consistently enough. He doesn't throw it accurately. You know, he makes, you know, completing the forward pass look difficult at times. That does not necessarily, and you could say, well, we're going to be a little bit old school. You know, we're going to run it. We're going to be able to use his legs. He should be able to operate within our offense, but at some point in time, you've got to evolve to the modern day offense where you have a quarterback, yes, that's multidimensional, that isn't necessarily just a statue in his pocket, a statue in the pocket that can use his legs to scramble and get a first down. Maybe you don't necessarily need, you know, a quarterback to the level of Jaden Daniels or Lamar Jackson, you know, or Justin Fields, the way that they're able to use their legs. But, you know, you want to make sure that you have a quarterback that athletically that isn't just standing there. And if he is, then he's got to be as good as Tom Brady. But those guys are rare to find and difficult to find. So that's where the evolution of the quarterback position has come to. But still, you got to throw it. And so I, you know, just as we talked about the Giants last hour, when you look at this Jet team and, you know, they opened up ironically enough and not ironically enough, but they opened up against Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, I think it's a Jet team where there aren't great expectations going into it. When you look at the AFC East, the Buffalo Bills are clearly the favorite. You look at it, it should be an interesting year one for Vrabel, year two for Drake May. I don't really know what to make of the Miami Dolphins. I think it's more of a mess than it is anything else. And then you got the New York Jets who are trying to change things. And I think Glenn is going to be given the time and opportunity to do so. But I think you're going to be going through this season and saying to yourself, you're going to be looking toward next spring and who's coming out of the college ranks and who is going to be eventually going to be the face and the quarterback of this team for the future. It's hard to win in the National Football League. It's difficult to win with the limitations that Fields presents at the quarterback position. And you saw some of those limitations in preseason. And I don't get all that crazy. I really don't. Like, I'm not coming on the airwaves this morning talking about the Giants, or this afternoon now, and talking about the Giants because they went 3-0 in the preseason, that the Giants are now going to be a force to be reckoned with in the NFL regular season. There's a distinction. There really is. I mean, you're very vanilla, you know, especially when you get to the third preseason game. Nobody of any kind of merit is really playing. But when you look at the Jets and you look at Fields, some of the stuff that you've seen throughout the course of camp, and in these preseason games, and some of the reports coming out of camp, or some of the issues that he had in Chicago, some of the issues he had in Pittsburgh, and those issues continue here with the New York Jets. If I'm proven wrong, I'll tell you I'm wrong. You know, but I like Glenn. I think the Jets will be remarkably better coached. We'll find out just to the level of head coach that Aaron Glenn is. Love the tone and temperament that he has set for the organization, trying to change the organization. Hopefully there are people above him that get out of his way and allow him to do the job that they're asking him to do. But the quarterback is an issue. I don't think there's any doubt about that. 1211, Melusis with you. 888-808-1019. Let's head out and back to the busy phones. Let's head out to Brooklyn. It's Omar. It's the fan. What's going on, Omar?
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Omar, it has been a little bit of time. How have you been, brother? Good?
Pretty good. First thing I want to say, we want to go back last year before the season started, and you said Aaron Rodgers and Jets are going to win the division and Buffalo is over.
I did. I was wrong. So, Omar, I've taken my lashes for it. I've admitted that I was wrong. I haven't hid from it. I haven't denied it. people still throw it at me in my face. I picked the Jets to win the Super Bowl last year. It was an embarrassing selection, and I've learned from my mistakes.
Okay. My thing was, it was such a confident, such a confident look. I said, Mark is saying that I got to look into the Jets, maybe Aaron Rodgers. Here it is, the game before the season start. Aaron Rodgers is looking so good in Pittsburgh. He's such a lovely boy. And you tell me about the quarterback of the Jets, that he has a lot of options, that he has a lot of backlashes over what Pittsburgh and whatever his loopholes are as a quarterback throwing the ball. I'm telling you, what about the physical nature that Aaron Rodgers in today's generation cannot run the way he used to run?
Yeah.
He's an old man. So that came to tuition last year, and you saw it, and this year, and you will be proven wrong again, as this first game New York Jets will play against Aaron Rodgers, that Jets made the right decision to say goodbye to Aaron Rodgers. And I am saying that I'm a Bills fan. Bills will win the division. And this is the year all whatever backlashes, whatever the soul and the Satan and every curses that Buffalo Bills have in the Super Bowl and everything, this is the year that I put it on. Show that everybody says whenever you go into that show, that team stinks. All these curses are going to come falsely looking at
Omar.
Yes.
Well, Omar, number one is, Rodgers is old, right? So he doesn't move like he once did. He did have mobility within the pocket. He did, at one point in time when he was at the Green Bay Packers, be able to scramble and run for first downs, right? So Father Time is undefeated, and it's caught up with Aaron Rodgers. He's not that version. We don't have to go back to the decision. The Jets made the decision because they no longer wanted the distraction. Rodgers had too much control within the building, and Glenn, to be able to instill and be the voice and the face of this team, needed to make that. Do I think Rodgers would be better at quarterback than Justin Fields? I do, but that's not really where the Jets are as an organization. We'll see what Rodgers is this year with Pittsburgh. I don't think the Steelers are winning a Super Bowl this year, and I think it comes down to the two betting choices when it comes to the AFC. I think it's the Bills or the Ravens in the AFC.
And the first matchup. Oh my God! You cannot get a better matchup in the first game, first Sunday night. I can't even wait for that game. That is a great game. But I want to tell you, I make a bold prediction. Everybody can say that.
Well, let me hear.
New York Jets are going to make the playoffs this year, and Buffalo Bills are going to win the Super Bowls after all the curses that they have been through.
Right.
I'm going very calm. Buffalo Bills are the Super Bowl champion 2026. And the Knicks are the 2026 champion of NBA. My year has finally arrived in 2026. I have been waiting so many years. Let's go rolling, baby. 2026 is New York Knicks and Buffalo Bills year, man. Let's go and start this campaign in September.
Oh, there you go, Omar. It took you a little while to ramp up to where eventually you get to. I'm used to Omar screaming on the overnights when I was hosting overnights, middays, and stuff like that. Omar's great. He's a legendary caller here to WFAN. Yeah, I mean, the Bills should be walking around saying, why not us? And, you know, they've got to have it to where all roads are going through Orchard Park once again to get to the Super Bowl in the AFC. That's got to be the goal for the Buffalo Bills during the course of the regular season. They're not going on the road anywhere. And, you know, I can't wait for opening night as well when you look at Buffalo and you're looking at Baltimore. And the Ravens are a team that they've got to play the way they've got to look at themselves in the mirror and say, you know, we're good enough. Not change anything up when you get to the playoffs and just be you, because Lamar's brilliant. We know what he is as a dual-threat quarterback. Henry has worked. I mean, he's basically lifting up cars during the course of the offseason on social media. I mean, he is a physical freak running the football. They're good enough at the receiver position. Offensive line is good enough. Are they defensively where they once were? Probably not, but Lamar is able to make up for a little bit of that deficiency with what he's able to do at the quarterback position. Let's head out to Brick, New Jersey. It's Rich. It's the fan. What's going on, Rich?
Moose, how are you? It's a pleasure hearing you in the afternoon. Let's get started with Anthony Volpe. And numbers don't lie. 1-for-37. He has 17 errors. That is the worst in the American League. And his fielding percentage is about maybe 29th out of 32 teams from right there. If the Yankees' mission is to, we got to get to the playoffs and we got to get deep into the playoffs and World Series, or it's a failure, then regardless of the fact of, oh, yeah, it but may Rich, hurt that, his
that's
feelings,
no longer,
he's got to
Rich,
sit.
That's. Rich, I don't disagree with you. If you're, I said it earlier in the show, if you were going to say, well, I'm going to roll the best team out there, you can't make the argument that having a Volpe every day out there at shortstop, square peg, round hole, and hoping and praying that it's going to be different. But I don't think the Yankees hold themselves to that standard any longer.
That is apparent because you don't know which lineup you're going to get every day, as opposed to, I hate to say this, back in the day, you knew who was batting when and where in the lineup. Now it's just like Russian roulette. Who are you going to throw out there?
Well, Rich, now it's a day. There's a lot of people that have got to say about how the lineup is put together. You know, Boone can suggest it. There's other people that make suggestions about the lineup. Then they come to a decision of what the lineup should look like. So this is not – we're a long way away from Major League Baseball of the manager, you know, the GM and the executives cutting the roster and the handing over the roster to the manager and the manager managing that team as he sees fit with his vision of that team. There's a lot of people at the table now. I mean, that's it. So, you know, that's why you're screaming at the clouds if you're going to go out there and all of a sudden blame Boone. Like, the problem is greater than Aaron Boone when you look at this organization, when you look at the Yankee organization, if you deem it to be a problem. You know, I've had these conversations where Yankee fans are quite satisfied saying, well, listen, I spend a lot of money. I go to Yankee games. I know it's going to be a competitive team. I know there's going to be playoff dates. I know that, you know, they've made the playoffs, 17 in the last 21 years, you know, so there's a consistency to that. You know, they don't bottom out all these teams outside of a few years ago when they went 82-80 after Judge got hurt in Los Angeles against the Dodgers, like all those things. And there are a lot of Yankee fans that are very happy with that. And that's kind of the apple of the eye of Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner, you know, not been overreactionary. So, but if you're going to make the argument and say, well, if the Yankee standard is this of what it was during the days of George Steinbrenner, whether that was realistic or not, the thing that Derek Jeter talks about time and time again, well, that's no longer the standard. That's not it. Like, the Yankees are no longer the evil empire. Those days are long gone when they were tagged out by Larry Lucchino. You know, that the evil empire in Major League Baseball is really more so the Los Angeles Dodgers than anything else. And then we can get into the New York Mets and Steve Cohen and his billions upon billions of dollars. So if you're going to look at Volpe and say this isn't good enough, you've got to look at options and you got to say, well, you know, I can't continue to roll it out there and hope for the best. I don't disagree with you, but we've seen the Yankees with other players that they're in lockstep with, in that so-called foxhole with, that they, regardless of what is transpiring on the field, they stay the course and they defend. Ben Rice, 3-for-5 with a home run. Judge, 2-for-4 with a home run. 2-run bomb straightaway center field. And Bellinger went 3-for-4, a home run. So the meat of the Yankees order, 8-of-13, 3 home runs, 5 runs, 4 RBIs. And when you're looking for the meat for your order, choose Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905. Who doesn't love a little Boar's Head cold cuts? I'll tell you that. There was nothing like watching Dove back in the day at Astoria open up his Boar's Head cold cuts for his breakfast.
They weren't Boar's Head because Boar's Head's not kosher, but there were kosher breads.
And you had the avocado. You had everything. It was an amazing eating experience at the old Kaufman Astoria Studios, Dove. You know that,
it's
right?
It's been transferred here, too.
Yeah.
No, it hasn't.
Moose, he's legitimately eating an avocado as we speak.
Oh, does he have the bagged avocado?
It was in a bag, but it wasn't it wasn't a bagged avocado.
It was a regular avocado plus some guacamole to give it a little flavor on some matzo.
There you go, Dove. I mean, you're a legend. I mean, you are a legendary FAN personality. Paul in Monmouth Beach is up next in the fan. What's going on, Paul?
Thanks for taking my call. Again, we're talking about Anthony Volpe. Why don't they correct the problem? All right. As long as he continues in his little league stance, one of two things are going to happen. He's either going to hit the top of the bat, which is a pop up, or he's going to hit a ground ball if it hits the bottom of the bat. And occasionally, like a blind squirrel, like he did yesterday in his, I think it was his third at bat, he hit a long fly ball to left field. What? To me, that corrects the problem. If the Yankees are going to stay with them, where's the batting coach? Pitchers now know they're throwing 95 plus. All you have to do is throw it letter high, and that's what's going to happen, ground ball or a pop-up, because he has to rise up from his stance. And nobody's trying to correct the problem.
I mean, the idea that you don't think the Yankees are trying to correct any kind of problem. I mean, I think they're working with Anthony Volpe. It just has not connected, right? So we can look at the way that he approaches the launch angle, the fact that, you know, the swing is maybe too, is not flat enough. But that's where baseball is nowadays. It really is. I don't think his approach at the plate is particularly good. Listen, I also think it's been, sometimes seasons get lost. I also think, like, Anthony Volpe probably needs a little bit of a reset and a mental break. He's clearly taken his offensive struggles into the field. He's been on the attack. He's got sent to, been sent to the bench for a couple of days, came back. He's 0 for his last 8. His on-base percentage is .269. He's barely hitting over .200 on the season. So you can focus in on the home runs and the power has been there. I get it. I mean, when I was growing up watching Major League Baseball, I mean, when guys were hitting like .205, they weren't everyday players. You know, it's all changed. And like to an extent, I get it. To an extent, I don't. Like, I really think putting the ball in play and action and making guys go out there and do their jobs consistently, I think it's going to be to the benefit of the team that's up at the plate. The penchant for the strikeout not being a big deal, I think, is kind of mind-boggling when you look at Major League Baseball and the approach that you get in today's day and age. But, yeah, I think we're reaching a point here where if you're the Yankees, even despite how much you have defended him and how much you have told you how great he is or that he's going to find it or we believe in him or he's still our everyday shortstop or, yeah, I don't understand why he threw to second base, but, it's still a bit, and it rationalizing out bad decisions on the field, you're going to come a point in time where you're going to say, well, maybe we have a better option now. If we're trying to win this year, if we're trying to get back to the Fall Classic, if we're trying to win a World Series this year, and just realize and wash your hands and say, well, maybe we need to begin again with Anthony Volpe going into next year. Not that you're turning a blind eye to him, not that you're saying that it's over or that his Yankee career is over, but just for the here and now, it just is not good enough.
Yeah, I agree, but I still think that stance of his, he's had the same stance. The stance is good, it worked, but pitchers are smart. Pitchers are smart, and they know he was hitting before. They changed their strike zone on him.
But you could look at, there are other guys that have a penchant for swinging at, fastballs upper part of the strike zone, even though they have nothing to, and they can do nothing with the pitch because it's tantalizing and pitchers know that. So, if you're looking at the stance, I'm looking more so at the approach. And what kind of hitter, and what you deem to be a successful plate appearance, and what is failure, and what do you emphasize with your hitters? DJ in East Brunswick is up next to the fan. What's going on, DJ?
Hey, what's going on, Moose? How are you?
I'm doing well, DJ. How are you?
Another day. So a few callers back at you were talking about quarterbacks, and it made me think. I've thought this for a long time. The traditional quarterback is gone. It's just this new wave of quarterbacks that just want to run. Nobody wants to really slide or move up in the pocket as much anymore. I mean, it sucks to think about that it's like this, but I don't think we're ever going to see a true Peyton Manning, Drew Brees again.
I don't know if ever. I think I don't think you're going to see them. I don't think that's going to be your prototypical quarterback. Like, yeah, it's hard to say you'll never see that guy again because I think talent is talent. And I think if you've got the arm talent, you can go out there and make throws. You can throw into tight windows, throw guys open, throw under pressure, step up in the pocket, realizing you're taking a hit, going to go out there and deliver the football, have got the arm strength and the size to be able to do it. The game slows down, understand where you need to go with the football before the ball is snapped, understanding what the defense is doing. Like, all those things that we talk about what a quarterback needs to do in the National Football League. I just think when we've defined the quarterback position from 20 or 30 years ago, that definition of the quarterback and what you're looking for in the National Football League is a little bit, is significantly different now than it was, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah. All right, Moose, thank you for the call. Let's go Mets.
Yeah, you got it. Let's go Mets. You should be excited about that. But, I mean, it doesn't necessarily, it doesn't mean that, you know, there won't be that kind of prospect that comes along that is too good to where you're going to say no as an organization just because they don't necessarily have the great movement outside the pocket. But more often than not, you're looking at NFL teams, they're looking for guys that can be able to move, throw on the run, throw off platform, move the pocket, can scramble for first downs, athletic, like all the things, moxie, confidence, everything, be a leader, be a captain, you know, be one of the faces of the team, but also be able to deliver the football when the pressure's on. So there's a lot that goes into it. We know when we go through the NFL draft process over the years, there's a lot of teams that swing and miss and how they look at quarterbacks, how they grade them out, and we've seen a lot of first-round failures. There's no doubt about it. And that, honestly, is going to go out there and continue because teams have a very difficult time of being able to look at college football, looking at a prospect, and being able to figure out whether or not he can or can't transition to the National Football League successfully. Dove texted me yesterday, said, you got to come up with a top five. I was like, top five of what? Well, he's like, well, you can do anything you want. Top five, you can do top five. I think McPherson the other day did top five, like sports movies, baseball movies, football, whatever it might be, top five. You could do sports drinks, you could do athletes, you could do a number of different things. So, you know, I came up with, and I had six, but I came up with top five things that the Melusis boys say. So Jackson, Paul, Gregory, 12, 10, and 8. They got back to school yesterday. So top five things that my kids say. Now, one that did not make the list that they have a tendency to say, because when you're raising children, you know, especially early on when you're potty training, there comes a point where, you know, they need to be wiped, you know, after, you know, they do their business, right? We're on terrestrial radio, can never, you know, can't be so graphic, but there does come a point in time where they start to wipe themselves. Now, the problem, and one of the things that they've had a tendency to say, or one of the top, I would say six things that they say is, I've clogged the toilet. So there does come a point in time. Now, all my kids are potty trained, obviously. They're 12, 10, and 8. If they were not, we'd have massive issues right now. But they do have a tendency when they wipe themselves now, instead of using, and I'm not one where I'm like monitoring the toilet paper use, but when you basically use half the roll to wipe yourself and you clog the toilet, and then my wife's not getting the plunger. Of course, I'm getting the plunger. And sometimes I'll be at picks late at night. I'll get the text about 10:20. The toilet's clogged in the toy room. Can you make sure you unclog it when you get home? That's the thing you want to do. You walk in the house, got to walk the dog at like midnight, 12:15 in the morning. Chip needs to go out. He needs to do his business so he's comfortable and cozy throughout the course of the night. And he's not making a mess throughout the course of the night. But then the other thing you want to do is go out there and grab the plunger and make sure that you unclog the toilet. And sometimes there's been where you can unclog it. No matter how many times you try it, you got to go out there and call, you know, you got to go out there and call the plumber the next day to come by and unplug and unclog the toilet. So that's been one of the things as of late for the Melusis boys. I've clogged the toilet. All right, let's get to number five since it's power up. Top five things the Melusis boys say. Crispy. Now you might say, well, you know, I'm not of the younger variety. Crispy can mean a number of different things. It can mean cool. It can mean awesome. It can mean impressive. Now, the one thing my son, youngest son Gregory, has a tendency to use, he uses the term crispy a lot. Whether I'm making him lunch that looks crispy, whether it be a great football catch when he's making, when the, it's a, you know, Malik Nabers, his favorite Giant, he's running around with his number one Malik Nabers jersey as we speak, but he uses the term crispy. So that was number five on my list. Number four, which this one annoys me. Like, I would not say I'm a strict disciplinarian when it comes to my kids, but my middle son, Paul, uses the term my guy. So if I'm like, Paul, it's time to get dressed for school. Calm down, my guy. I'm like, well, can you please stop calling me my guy like I'm your dad? Like, I don't need you to call me daddy, but don't call me my guy. I don't need you to tell me, you know, that. Or it's time to eat your clean up after yourself after you eat. Okay, I got it, my guy. That's one of the ones that gets thrown around a ton in the Melusis household. Number
Moose,
three.
Moose, hold on, hold on. Because I have a question with that because I have that too. My older son does that, JD. My guy is everything. But isn't that like when you say boss to somebody, hey, what's up, boss? Isn't that kind of like disrespectful?
Yeah, I agree with you. I tell him to stop it all the time. Does it stop, Pete? Let me ask you this. Does JD stop using it?
No, he called me my guy this morning.
Yeah, my son Paul uses it all the time. All the time. It doesn't matter. I've reached a point with my kids where no matter what I say, they're going to do the opposite. Like, go brush your teeth. No, I'm not going to brush your teeth. Your teeth will be yellow. It does not matter. Well, it's going to matter. At some point in time, you're going to want white teeth. Brush your hair. Do these things. Now, they're three boys. But yes, I tell my son Paul all the time, please don't call me my guy. Like, I don't have strict rules in the Malusis household. My wife is more the disciplinarian than anything else. I'm the softy. She's good cop, bad cop. I'm more the good cop. She's more the bad cop, right? We've taken on those roles in our marriage here and raising our three kids. But just don't say my guy. Like, if I ask you, like, hey, take out the garbage. I got it, my guy. Hold on a second. I'm your dad. I'm not like your guy. Like, you could call your friends that, but I'm your dad. Like, you would, like, what are you doing? Like, don't call me that. Now, the third one on my list, I'm glad I'm not alone, Hoff. I'm glad you chimed in with the third one on the list is he started it. Now, I've got three boys. Right. And so they can, I grew up with two sisters, one older, Kim, one younger, Paulette. Right. So I've joked around about this before. Like, I never really got into fist fights, arguments, anything like that with my sisters. Got into arguments, but like really kind of my incarnation into being like the middle child when I was growing up is my sisters would basically dress me up as a doll. And they put makeup on me as I was a kid, right? I mean, that's basically what it was, right? So, a little odd, a little strange. I get it, but that's really what, you know, what I need. That was my penance I needed to pay when I was growing up as a kid. Now, you've got three boys at home. They always fight. Like, they argue about everything. They could be playing Roblox. They could be playing Madden 25. They just got a Madden 26. They could be playing Madden 26. They could be outside throwing the ball around. It doesn't matter. Go outside, have a catch. One is throwing the ball at the other one. Like, it always ends up in some sort of screaming argument and fight. And the constant refrain that you get from all three of them, regardless of who it is, Jackson Paul, Gregory Paul, Paul Jackson, it does not matter. He started it. It's always pointing the other finger at everyone else. So, number five on the list is Crispy. Number three, four on the list is my guy. Number three is he started it. The second one, which annoys me, is this, is why. Now, Hoff, I don't know if you get this at your household, right? My kids constantly ask me why. Like, why you need to do something. And sometimes I really don't have an explanation. Like, I could talk about, like, the you know, the Knicks depth chart, whether or not they're going to win an NBA title. I could talk about the Jets, the Giants. You know, we could break down the Yankees and talk about their, you know, my concerns, the excitement about the Mets and Nolan McLean. Why? How'd we get there? All these things. Like, you ask your kids now, and I've reached a point, and they're significantly different. Like, when they're, you know, 6, 4, and 2, they're cuddly, they're sweet, they fall asleep early, this and that. Now they're pressing. And every time, you got to go to bed. Why? Well, because it's bedtime. Well, my friends stay up later than I do. Well, I'm not the parent of them. Like, I'm your parent. Like, it's time to go to bed. Well, it's only 9:30 at night. So on and so forth, stays up till 10. Why? Why do I need to go to bed now? Well, time to take your shower. Why? Well, because you want to be clean. You don't want to smell. Why do I need to take a shower? I really didn't do anything today. I know. Well, that was the point. I asked you to go outside. You wouldn't go outside. Why? Why won't you go outside? Because it's too hot out. Well, why? Okay, it's summertime. Enjoy the leaves. Like, spend some time outside. You don't necessarily need to be spending time all day indoor reading or doing this or annoying the dog. Go walk the dog. Why? Because the dog needs to go to the bathroom and the dog is dying to go outside. He's circling the front door like he needs to do his business. Can you please bring the dog? Why? Because you know what, Chip? You need to take care of the dog. I constantly with my kids get the rationale of why. Why do I need to do something? Because I'm asking you to do it. I'm your parent. I'm trying to guide you through life. I'm trying to help out early. At some point in time, you're going to cut your teeth. You're going to be in college. After college, you're going to have a job. You're going to be working. Hopefully, you meet the person of your dreams. You're married. You live happily ever after. But I'm trying to help you out early here, Hoff. Why? I constantly, from all three boys, Jackson, Paul, and Gregory, I get why.
So I get the same thing. And then I was told, and I got this argument with Nicole as well, my wife. I said, why do they always ask questions? Why don't they just do it? Like, again, wise. She said it's good for education skills. Like, that's what they're teaching and implementing with the kids these days is to further ask the question. Find more details of why you're doing it, and it helps them. I disagree. I just want them to do it. That's all I want. I don't care. Sometimes you just got to put your head down and go.
Yeah, just go do. There's no rationale. There's no reason. There's no PowerPoint explanation of the reason why you need to do it. Please pick up your clothes off the floor. Why? Because your room's a mess. Because it's disgusting. Like, and it's time I have to do some laundry. That's the reason why. And it smells in here. Like, please pick up your clothes. Like, I mean, there's really nothing comes along with it. Like, I don't want to walk into the house and smell body odor. Like, why? Like, why do I need to do this? Like, come on. Just help out the cause a little bit. Like, I'm not asking you to run laps. I'm not asking you to do push-ups and sit-ups every single day or go out there and that you need to have summer reading list, the Melusis Boys summer reading list. But can you just be a little bit cleanly? I mean, I grew up with two sisters, didn't grow up with brothers, right? I don't understand it, but it's always why. Why do I need to do this and why do I need to do that? Now, the last one on the list, and this is number one, and Daboll dropped it the other day after the first preseason game, and I don't understand it. I really don't. 6'7". Like, they say it, like, all the time. Like, and I ask them constantly, Hoff, I'm like, what exactly does it mean? Like, there are other variations of numbers, which I won't get into right now, where you combine them, you have an understanding of what it means as you get a little bit older, right? So, well, but they throw out 6'7". I go, what the hell does that mean? And they're like, I don't know. Well, then why are you saying it? Because I am. Well, But like, what are you trying to explain to me? Like, what are you trying to tell me? Like, I'm trying to get, like, I'm hip, I'm cool, I'm trying to be up with the younger terms and terminology. But like, what does 6'7" mean? And I understand it started on TikTok, Skrilla came from a rap song and this and that, where the words were 6'7". But everybody's saying it now. I have no idea what the heck it means.
But they don't know either. And I honestly originally thought that a lot of these kids thought, like, you know, when we say, you know, 69, that's what it was, and kids just got the number wrong. That's originally what I thought it was, but no, it's deeper than that. It means absolutely nothing, but it's deeper than that, and everybody knows it. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, they say it all the time, too. I mean, yeah. They say it all the time.
My son almost wanted, when he wanted to, because I don't know about your kids, if they pick out their jersey numbers for their sports, if they're asked beforehand, but Anthony, at one point in time, was asked what number he wants, and he said 67. And I go, are you serious? Are you really going to do that?
Yeah, so, you know, one interesting story. So Gregory made a lacrosse team, right? And so he wanted to be the number one for Malik Nabers. That number was already taken. So they gave him the number 67. So I was and I was like, Donna sent me the things. I was like, absolutely not. Like, I'm not leaning into 6'7". Like, pick another number. He picked like five other different numbers and they were all taken. So I was like, Gregory, how about 97 for McDavid? He's like, all right, I'll take 97. I'm like, thank God. I can't have you running around as 6'7". I just can't. I have no idea what it means.
6'7".
I really don't. Yeah, it's just all the time. Like, it's just all the time. Throughout the course of the day, it's just nonsense and constantly nonsense. And listen, patience is king. My dad would always tell me that when I was a kid. There's no doubt when you have three kids, 12, 10, and 8, regardless of the age, and they get a little bit more difficult and they push back a little bit more, your patience continues to get tried. And you know what? They continue to push back and they understand the weaknesses of the defense, and they understand who to ask, and they understand all these things. So when you're looking through it, and we were talking about power up, I'm thinking about, all right, well, what are the top five things I do? And I came up with six. I've clogged the toilet. Crispy, my guy, he started it, always constantly asking why, and then 6'7"
now
is the chart top.
Now, Moose, it sounds like your boys have a lot of drip. Is that true?
That's true, yes.
That's what goes on in my house. They worry about their drip. And I'm not even sure if I want to say that on there. I mean, I know what they mean by it, but like, yes. it is over the top, their drip in the house.
Yeah, my kid, Paul, the other day was watching a show. He's like, I love his fit. I'm like, yeah, looking sharp. He's looking good. Yeah, he really does. I'm like, look at this. Look at that. I'm connecting with my 8-year-old. I'm connecting with
And listen, by the way, it feels like you are the good cop for a reason, because they know at the end of the day who's going to plunge that toilet.
I am. There's no doubt about it. I am. It's like, it just, yeah, that's the worst text you could possibly get. And then you ask, is the bowl overflowing?
Oh, no.
And they're like, no, but it's right at the top. I'm like, please don't flush it. Why? because then there'll be water all over the bathroom. Well, then you'll clean it up. I go, yes, I understand. Please don't flush the toilet again. Please help daddy out. All right, my guy. I got you.
Is it crispy?
All right. Is it crispy? Yeah, that's it. What billboard do we have here? I don't know. What billboard
we have? There's actually a sponsor for Power Up.
Oh, here we go. I missed it. I apologize.
Come on, my guy.
I know. I'm sorry. Which? There's so many billboards here. I think I missed that one, Dove.
Dove, we'll you should read it.
Yeah. You got it, Dove. You take it. 5 of 1. We'll come back. It's BT and Sal. There you have it. The Power Up. The Melusis Boys, what they say, top five things. Crispy, my guy, not my fault. Why? He did it. And 6-7. Also, I've clogged the toilet. 12:56. Melusis with you, the fan in New York.
And by the way, Power Up is brought to you by Princeton Longevity Center. Experience the power of personalized medicine.